Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go, North America. Welcome to the DA Show. This is Mraz, along with the bogeyman, Andrew Bogish, as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. That's right. From Hershey to Hogwarts, Bangor, Maine to Bangor, Oregon, Kalamazoo to Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Good morning, Andrew Bogish. Hello.
Look at us back together again. It's gotten so commonplace that I actually couldn't remember yesterday if we were still doing it or not, because it's been a long list of D.A. dates off and on and off and on. And I wasn't sure if we were still in the Thursday and Friday portion of these off days or just Fridays, and I didn't feel like going through my email yesterday. So instead, I just texted Sean real quick. We are hosting in the morning, right? And the quick answer is yes, so you're welcome, America.
Nothing better than that. It's basically 7 p.m. So I would say about 11 hours ago, I get the text from from Bogish. Hey, man, is DA in tomorrow or are we hosting the show together? It's
but
a real good sign.
Now, in fairness to me, I was like an hour into prepping for the show, and then all of a sudden, an alarm went off like, because obviously yesterday's show was different because we spent so much time, rightfully so, on Mo. We had had more fun and more mentions of DA's schedule when he was not going to be here in past weeks. So, and that's just kind of how my brain works. Like, I don't always trust myself as much as I should. Like, I knew that we were hosting today and tomorrow, and I believe it's the same thing as next week too.
Yes.
So, but like, I was like, but I needed some kind of outside validation, and I chose to reach out to my good friend Sean, and I got it.
No better validation than reaching out to me. Yes, we are in today. We are in tomorrow. Next week on Thursday and Friday, then I am on vacation. Then you are on vacation. And then I think we come back 2 weeks later with another Thursday, Friday. I think that's the way things have been set up. And there's even, I think, a random Monday in there where you and DA are both on vacation, where I come back and I'm flying solo there. So there's
the first week of my week off, which I think is August 17th, is also one of DA's wedding anniversaries. I don't remember which one it is, but he's off. I think that's the weekend. That's a long weekend into Monday. So, yeah, you'll be here all by yourself.
Right. So that's enough scheduling talk. Yes, as you can tell, we are all on top of things here on the DA show as far as scheduling goes. We have plenty to get into this morning. And this is, by the way, Bogus, you wanted validation. This is how you knew DA was out. The NBA opens up their season tonight. So, of course, DA's out tonight and tomorrow because we have actual sports again and a big moment taking place. So we will get into that. Howard Beck is going to join us a little bit later on, NBA's Lee Ryder, Bleacher Report. We'll talk a lot of LeBron as he gets ready to take on the Clippers and what we can embark on with this LeBron run. We'll get into that. Plus, just the overall excitement, finger on the pulse at the top of next hour. Are you excited for NBA opening night and a doubleheader of games? And we'll get into all of that, plus Lamar Jackson. Boy, you want to talk about dying on a hill. He's all over Antonio Brown. We will get into that. And is the ACC letting Notre Dame off the hook for one season? We have that to get into. But, of course, we have to start. And this just shows you a little bit of a difference, Bogish. Last week, it was a week ago today, we were finally getting ready to have team sports back. And we started with, before there was a major league game being played, the beginning of Major League Baseball and the excitement. And we're going to do that similar kind of segment with the NBA. But the reason we don't start NBA here and we wait to do that in a little while with that same segment is because baseball has started and we do have stuff to react to. And something major happened in Major League Baseball. Joe Kelly, after his incident, I guess 2 nights ago now, where he went high and tight, got out of the way with Carlos Correa, and then mouthed off with the tightening of the lip and all of that and mocking everybody as he moved off the field. Joe Kelly has gotten an 8-game suspension, but it is only a 60-game season. Fair, unfair, did Major League Baseball botch this? It's where we begin. Didn't Boccioni it. They botched it. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
The ball, obviously. Wasn't my best pitch. It was ball four, and walked him, and never good to put a guy on when you're leading the game. So I wasn't feeling the greatest. Wasn't the most comfortable. Took me a while to hone in my mechanics. I threw my curveball. I guess I didn't take too kind to it, a curveball. It is what it is. Walked a couple guys, was able to get out of the inning. Finally made one good pitch for the punch out, and was able to keep the lead where it was at.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's Joe Kelly talking about what exactly happened in this incident, and I hate that explanation from Joe Kelly. Look. Own it. You can't deny it. You had the video in the offseason where you're basically breaking windows on your own instead of hitting the net. You have history of this, plunking Tyler Austin when he was a New York Yankee. Look, you're a guy who wants revenge, who's, when he's annoyed, is going to go after people and with the unwritten rules of baseball. And if people don't like that and hate that, that's understandable. But then you also have to own it if you're going to do it. You don't dance around it. And Joe Kelly is not owning it there. Look, I want this on the record right now. A lot of people really bellyached, and I believe I'm going to use another big word here, bemoaned Joe Kelly throwing high and tight, throwing a fastball at somebody's head. And yes, there shouldn't really be a place for that in baseball, but I'm also a hypocrite because I didn't have a problem with what Joe Kelly did. Look, the Houston Astros are getting off free here. Yes, A.J. Hinch is gone as their manager. Yes, Gerrit Cole left as a free agent. Heck, even Justin Verlander's hurt, maybe out for the year. You could say karmically, the Astros are in a much worse shape after their cheating scandal. But the truth is, all of those players got immunity on the Houston Astros as far as suspensions. They didn't face suspensions after cheating the game, after winning a World Series, cheating the game. Think about this. We won't let Pete Rose sniff the Hall of Fame because he gambled against his team. You have the Houston Astros cheating the integrity of the game. And no players got suspension. So what is that going to open yourself up to if you're Major League Baseball? Players, opponents taking matters into their own hands. They don't have to deal with fans heckling them this year. They're already cowering in spring, the original spring training when that was happening. So if Joe Kelly, even if he wasn't on that Dodger team, that doesn't bother me because he's a Major League Baseball player. And yes, I understand the irony. He was on another team that probably cheated as well, the Boston Red Sox. If he wants to take matters into his own hands and go high and tight and send a message that says, bleep you from the rest of Major League Baseball, I'm fine with it. But that also means that you should be okay with the fact that he did go high and tight at the head, and he absolutely deserves a big-time suspension for that. And I think 8 games is plenty warranted. Now, where people go crazy about it is they go, well, 60-game season, 8 games is actually 22 games because of the 2.7 conversion rate. I believe I got that right. So it would take 8
you
times
did,
3
yeah.
is 24. The 2.7 gets you down to 22. And that's way too harsh. And I would say this. I know, for instance, I know all these suspensions are apples and oranges, and you don't want to compare them. Domingo Germán was supposed to be a big-time Yankee pitcher. He was an absolute jerk idiot that got into a domestic violence incident, and he was suspended 80 games. He was supposed to come back halfway through this Major League Baseball season. He's missing the entire year now for 60. They didn't turn around and prorate, for lack of a better term, his suspension. Same thing with a PED suspension. You get nabbed for 80 games, you're serving 80 games. The idea that this Major League season is lessened, so suspension should be lessened, is nonsense. In fact, the suspension should be upheld, especially when you're Joe Kelly, and you know the incident is going to cause benches to clear. Oh, by the way, we're supposed to be socially distant from each other while playing the game. That's another part of this. So look, I don't have any issue with Joe Kelly throwing high at Carlos Correa, even if, yes, he could have heard it, because ultimately I believe that if you're a quick enough baseball player, this happens all the time, you're going to duck out of the way, and it's meant to scare the you-know-what out of you. But ultimately, it is still dangerous, and I understand it's dangerous, so you deserve the suspension coming your way. I don't understand why more people can't look at it both ways and be pleased with Joe Kelly, but also accept the fact that this was absolutely the right thing for Major League Baseball to do, Bogus, is suspend Joe Kelly. Your thoughts?
Joe Kelly's 100% wrong, and the argument that he should just put a fastball in Alex Bregman's ribs or his butt is, that's the valid argument here. Throwing at somebody's head, even
Correa,
if you're...
I'm sorry. He had the mimicking of Correa walking off the field. You're right. Absolutely right.
It was both of them, and it was actually, I mean, and it was the Correa, like, facial gesture that really got everybody right out of the dugout. It's like the Bregman, throw out started it, but that wasn't the direct impetus for everybody coming out of the dugout. Either way, if the rest of MLB wanted to get together and say, listen, the first 9 games of the season, we're just going down that lineup. I got the first guy. Tomorrow we get number 2. And you want to drill every Astro you want in the first inning to start of every game to send some kind of message, I'm fine with that too. I don't mind Joe Kelly throwing at Alex Bregman. It's 3-0. He's going to go to first base anyway. But there's a way to do this, and throwing at his head is not the way to do this. So, yes, Joe Kelly was wrong. Joe Kelly should be suspended for that. And even if you want to tack on some kind of surcharge because of the benches clearing aspect and we don't need brawls and fights this season in particular, I might argue ever. But if you want to extra punish him for that, I don't mind either. But I do think that this conversion rate argument is valid. And at least for me, I've always thought that there should have been some kind of conversion rate thing in play too, when players get suspended for stuff like that, on field stuff, for playoff games too. Because playoff games matter, obviously, more than regular season games. So in the regular season, if the suspension would be 8 games, to me, in the playoffs, it should be 3 or 4. So I think I can apply that to now, because these games do, there's no two ways about it, these games mean more by themselves than they normally would. So whether you want to be specifically, like, mathematically focused and go, this actually is like 22 games, not 8, I think you can do that. Or just say 8 games in this season is a lot, and maybe it should only be 4, because 4 games without Joe Kelly is still a significant blow for the Dodgers in this season. So I think that he should be punished, but I think 8 games in this year is a little too much.
Well, hold on now, Bogus. And that's your number, 855-212-4227. Your number again is 855-212-4CBS. I understand what you're saying. Yes, the games matter more. But the players have to be aware of that before their actions. This wasn't an accidental thing by Joe Kelly. And you could say, well, Joe Kelly threw it. Maybe he only expected to be suspended 2 games, 3 games because of the lessened season. No, no, no. The punishment fits the crime here. And if you are going to say that there shouldn't be a conversion right, well, then how the heck are you going to police this thing in Major League Baseball in a 60-game season that is in place because we need to be socially distant, because of what we went through? If the suspension is 2 games, 3 games, that's nothing. That is nothing. And what is going to stop another player from going after another Houston Astro this year and saying, all I'm going to get is 2-3 games because it's a 60-game season? Of course I'm going to take that shot because I want my flesh of blood too. Joe Kelly was the first to do this in what is already the first week. Now we're just closing the first week of Major League Baseball season. If you give him a light punishment, it's open season on the Astros. And a lot of people might like that. But of course you could go ahead and plunk, because 2-3 games is nothing, and it may seem like it's more because it's a 60-game season. You have to send this message. There should not be a conversion rate. We have started Major League Baseball as if every team had the same record on July 26th, and that's the exact way this should be approached here. And if Joe Kelly wants to take that punishment because it's worth the flesh of blood, I think that's fine. But to argue like you are about the conversion rate, I understand your point. But then the Major League Baseball is opening themselves up to every team finding some pitcher that wants their flesh of blood in the Astros.
You mean a pound of flesh. But anyway, so
flesh of blood.
We can cross this bridge when we get there.
By the way, that's three mistakes 14 minutes in by me. Because
okay.
I also started by forgetting it's Portland, Maine and Portland, Oregon. Now I wrote down Bangor, Maine and Bangor, Oregon. So I'm not even going to own that.
Yeah, I don't know if I was on camera for that, but I did give a little, like, head tilt. Like, is there really a Bangor, Oregon? Or am I forgetting an inside joke from the show earlier that you thought there was a Bangor, Oregon, too? Anyway, I understand your point about sending a message and not open season on the Astros, but I do think that Joe Kelly went about this the wrong way, throwing near at Alex Bregman the way that he did. If guys are going to play, every pitcher that hits an Astro, even if it's on purpose, they're not going to get an 8-game suspension. If the next guy puts a fastball in Carlos Correa's ribs, then I don't even know that he gets more than a game or two. So 8 still seems like a lot. And also, too, I should have said this at the beginning. What baseball has been doing recently, two things. This is 8 games, 10 games. This has become the norm for inciting extracurricular activities with a hit by pitch. So, there is precedent for this number of games. Right. But they also, too, they suspend you higher so that when it gets appealed down, it's still a number right. that they can deal with. So Joe Kelly is probably not going to miss 8 games here. Maybe it's only 5 or 6 on appeal, and now we're splitting hairs about how significant this suspension is. But I think that Joe Kelly is the exception here. So again, I'm okay with the heftier suspension, but I don't know how you don't factor in the shortened season. These games aren't the same value. They are more, it's like the NFL. I mean, an NFL suspension based on raw number of games looks the same, but if I say you're suspended for 8 NFL games, that's half the season. You have to use this percentage when you're coming up with these punishments.
Well, also, Bogus, I will just say this. No two plunkings are the same as well. And I know that kind of goes against what I was just saying for the pound of flesh argument with every player going on this. Joe Kelly's also getting 8 games because now he's a multiple-time offender. He had that incident with the Yankees when he was a member of the Red Sox where he hit Tyler Austin. He was suspended 6 games at the time. So now this is another offense, much like you would see in the NHL for a major violator or how suspensions would go up for PED uses and stuff like that. He's multiply now done this. Number two, as we've pointed out, and again, I'm saying I'm okay with it, but I'm also not okay with it. I'm okay with going after the Astros. I'm okay with a scare because ultimately I don't think that a player is going to get hit in the head even if you go high and tight. Maybe that's me being naive and stupid, and I shouldn't even be saying those words. But he did go high. He did go after somebody's head. That is different than going after plunking somebody in the old glute. So I think going high, being a multiple-time offender, and the fact that you're inciting something for benches to clear in a season where there's rules against the benches clearing, you're causing that. That's 3 big strikes there to cause an 8-game suspension. And if you come at him with 3 games or even 4 games, to me that's an absolute slap on the wrist and only opens us up for more of this nonsense throughout the season.
Yeah, I don't know that it's guaranteed that if you gave him 3 or 4 games, which then in theory using my conversion rate takes you to 8 to 10 in reality, I don't know that the rest of baseball looks at it and goes, oh man, I can do whatever I want, so you better be ducking Jose Altuve. I don't know that baseball would have opened up Pandora's box with a lighter punishment that all of a sudden now guys are going to be throwing 96 past Astro ear holes. I don't know that would be the case here, that's going to become the norm because they only got 2 or 3 or 4 games for Joe Kelly.
855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. Tweets at MirazCBS, at Andrew Bogish throughout the show. I tell you, Bogues, it's refreshing leading the show with reaction to something that happened into a game and a league reaction. Doesn't this feel good? Doesn't this feel good?
It feels good. It's also a little bit overwhelming. I've gotten used to being able to watch my garbage Bravo TV or cooking channel stuff at night because there are no games on. And now all of a sudden, there's things going on left and right. I've gotten out of the habit. You know, we talk about guys getting back into game shape and where are they physically and keeping themselves ready to go. I didn't keep myself ready to go in terms of my multi-screen operation. And then we get to Saturday, man. And Saturday, we've got baseball, basketball, and hockey, plus soccer, all going on Saturday. I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle all this. I'm a little worried for my physical well-being that I'm not in mid-season form to be able to handle all of this coming our way.
It's absolutely awesome. Yesterday, my 2 TV setup in my man cave, I finally turned on the second TV for the first time. I had a little hockey going, a little baseball going. It's fantastic. It's refreshing, and I know that's why you guys are here listening. Sports are back, baby. We will get into the NBA's opening night in a little bit later on, but next, when we come back, the NFL opt-outs continue to pile up, a couple bigger names again, but will any big name truly affect the outcomes of the NFL season? We discuss next. This is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is a Throwback Thursday on the DA Show. Yes, this date in Mothership history, part of that Throwback Thursday comes up in a little bit. A little, if you will, sequel to yesterday's This Date in Mothership history. How about that for a surprising tease? It's Memeraz, it's Bogish, it's the summer of DA continuing on here on these Thursdays and Fridays on CBS Sports Radio. If you're just hopping in the car, just joining us, just waking up with us, turn on your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio. Maybe you got your radio.com app flailing away there and enjoying yourself. We began with the Joe Kelly suspension. Bogus thinks 8 games is too much in a 60-game season. I think it's just right. You can tweet at us, at Andrew Bogus, at Merez CBS. But Bogus, more NFL news continues to happen as training camps begin, sort of. You have a lot of the testing in place, joining, weight training. We haven't really seen teams practice yet. But every day, and I think we have until, I think, August the 3rd. I could be wrong. For players to opt out. It's 7 days after everything's signed off. But then again, it may not be officially signed off yet. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so it is 7 days from when they finalize. It's called a side letter to the CBA that's specifically about this stuff. And as far as I know, and I certainly could be wrong, they hadn't technically signed that yet. So those 7 days hadn't even started yet. So I think August 7th or August 8th now is the next time or I guess August 7th makes more sense, will be the next deadline if things get done today, but I don't know that they will. So we're kind of in this rolling 7-day window for a deadline for these decisions.
So in the meantime, once that's officially signed, you're only going to have that next 7 days to, if you decide to opt out, to opt out. And yes, NFL players have begun to do so. We did that segment yesterday discussing all the New England Patriots who have opted out of the season, and I really think the New England Patriots are going to be terrible. I know Ian Rappaport says he'll believe it when he sees it. Well, I see it right now. That team stinks. Absolutely stinks. Look, Bill Belichick might be, as I pointed out, the greatest coach of all time. Everybody could have a dud every once in a while. There's only so much you could do with a roster that talentless. But Bogus, I don't know about you. I didn't necessarily expect big things from the New England Patriots this year. I expected this to be a regressing year. I was intrigued by Cam Newton being signed, and I guess to a lesser extent I still am. But I didn't expect big things out of that roster. But yesterday we see two more guys opt out. Giants left tackle Nate Solder, who obviously had his own bout with testicular cancer. His son has been battling cancer. Actually, it's the main reason, or one of the main reasons, he signed and left New England to come to the Giants was to be near some of these New York City hospitals for his son. And Chiefs running back Damian Williams opts out. Damian Williams would become really a staple of that Chief offense after the Kareem Hunt incident, to get him out of there. And now the Chiefs have lost a member of the starting offensive line and their starting running back. And for a Super Bowl champ, that's pretty serious business. But they still have Patrick Mahomes. They still have Tyreek Hill. So that's kind of where I'm at here. Now, I didn't expect big things from the Giants. And at the same time, there's a lot of Giant fans will tell you it's probably a win that Nate Solder's opted out of the season because they drafted Andrew Thomas to play left tackle anyway. But names that you know and have heard of are starting to mount here, Bogus. It's not like it's a bunch of, you know, fringe special team guys that have opted out. I mean, Damian Williams is a guy who actually will affect many people's fantasy football season. Maybe you have him as a keeper or something like that. And yeah. I do think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I do think over the next 7 to 10 days, we're going to get news of a bigger name than even the names we've gotten, Hightower, Solder, Damian Williams. And I have to wonder, is there anybody outside of a quarterback, Bogus, at any position that you think you look and you go, wow, my thoughts on the NFL season have altered, whether that means you'd rather not watch the NFL or whether that means who you think would win divisions and all this other stuff. Do you think anything like that is coming where we see a mega superstar opt out?
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if a real significant big name stayed home. But I don't know that outside of quarterback, it would really change my thought on that team that much. Like, 'cause that to me is the significance of the position, how hard it is to replace. You know, if Russell Wilson stays home, the rest of the Seahawk roster doesn't matter to a certain extent.
True.
So, but even if you took, you know, if you took Khalil Mack or Myles Garrett, you know, you find or a shutdown corner, I mean, that's a significant blow. But I think those teams would find an easier way around those absences than losing your starting quarterback, especially if your quarterback is an elite guy like a Russell Wilson or Mahomes or whatever. But to me, the bigger issue remains the number of guys on a team that stay home, like the Patriots, because that that level of replacement, or the number of replacements, then becomes too much to overcome. Now we're talking about multiple weakened positions as opposed to just one. So I think most teams shy of quarterbacks will be able to survive that one significant guy pulling out. But if you're running into a list now of 6, 8, 10 key contributors, guys who are going to start or play a lot of snaps, that's a lot of holes to fix for a GM in this current climate.
And I will say this, I credit any NFL player that chooses to opt out. I really do, because, look, we've been over this numerous times. I've been a big proponent of if everybody tells us it's safe to play and you feel safe as a player or an employee anywhere at any job that wants to come back, I think that's great. If you don't feel safe, I think that's great, too. I think that you should be able to make that decision in this country, no matter if you're a professional athlete or if you're, you know, checking out people to register at the Piggly Wiggly. I really do believe that, because there is still so much unknown. We have what we do know, and we have very much an unknown. So if these NFL players choose to do that, and there's still plenty of players to make sure we get a season off and everybody can collect on their TV money and guys want to make money, I think that's perfectly fine. And I'm totally accepting the sports world in 2020, where I'm thankful just to have the games. And if in the end teams that I thought maybe should have won games or should have won titles or should have went deep in playoffs, it's altered because guys either test positive or opt out, I'm not going to throw any asterisks around. I'm just going to accept it for what it is. And if this happens, you know, if LeBron or Anthony Davis end up, you know, we don't wish this, testing positive for COVID, and the NBA keeps chugging and the Lakers get blasted in the first, second round because they don't have those guys, well, you know, so be it. And if in the NFL, if the Chiefs end up faltering and they could have been a 13-3 team and now they're a 9-7 team because they have enough guys opt out and they really miss Damian Williams, so be it. I'm not looking to throw around asterisks. I'm happy to have it, and I'm happy that guys have made their own decision, and I think I'm just accepting of it. I will say, though, if in the NFL, I think even more specifically than other sports, boy, you know, you are risking the whole Wally Pipp situation if you miss this year. Like, the Chiefs are a perfect example with Damian Williams. Damian Williams, the reason we know who he is because the Chiefs so easily replaced Kareem Hunt. If the Chiefs very easily replace Damian Williams here, and I believe they spent their first round there on the running back, and I forgot his name now.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I mean, who's to say Damian Williams, when he comes back next year, is going to get the carries that he thought he would? Because at that point, a first-round pick's already been invested. We've seen him for a whole year. And the same thing, ironically, goes for Nate Solder. A first-round pick was invested on the future left tackle of the New York Giants. This might have been Nate Solder's last big year with the Giants anyway. So I do think these guys, and they're making the right choice for their family, but in the NFL, more than any other sport, if you opt out, there's a good chance that clock keeps turning and, you know, musical chairs happens, and there may not be a seat for you on that roster when you come back next year.
Yeah, and I think it's Damian Williams that is actually, this is the last year of his contract, so he would have been a free agent after this season. Now he's delaying that for a year, which means, too, like, if when he comes back for 2021 in a contract year, and the environment in KC for him is completely different. Now he loses the chance to maybe show off and get a big payday from them or from somewhere else. So, but that takes me back to what your original point was, in that these are huge decisions for these guys. I understand that they have, you know, the built-in kind of safety net that a lot of us and most of us don't have, in that they've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, waiting for them in these contracts. Because the way I misspoke earlier in the week, the way this works now is if you opt out, you opt out for a medical reason, like these guys mostly are, your contract gets paused. You get the year of service, but your contract is paused. It just doesn't exist, basically, for this year. It restarts for next year. I originally had said that it kind of continues, but you don't get your money. It just becomes now, you just pick it up and you move it, everything down a year. So these guys are making significant decisions that could change the course of their career, like you just laid out, which is why I'm never going to criticize somebody for not playing this year. Now, we've had some fun with guys, the way they've made their decisions and their announcements, and some guys may be hinting that, you know, it wasn't as serious a reason to stay home as others. You need to be careful that, you know, you're not sitting behind your PS4 going, I would prefer to play some FIFA for a while longer. Right. But I mean, if you're going to stay, but all these other guys who have legitimate reasons, newborn kids, compromised spouses, partners, parents, themselves, or just flat out fear of getting sick is also okay in my book too. But just don't forget as well that these are not willy-nilly decisions. There's significant football ramifications for all of these guys for staying home. So when they do it, I think we should show a little bit of respect.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think there's no place for if their guy opts out and these NFL go, ooh, you know, like I saw a lot of this because I follow a lot of Giants Twitter. You suck anyway, bro, to Nate Solder. Yeah, okay. Everybody knows that Nate Solder hasn't been a good New York Giant, but the guy just wrote a heartfelt statement to Giant fans explaining that the problems with his kid having cancer and him being a cancer survivor. I don't think your first reaction to that during a pandemic should be, you suck, bro, we ain't going to miss you. Or, you know, going after Damian Williams, you're going to get replaced anyway, man. And I'm admitting that, yeah, these guys are probably going to get replaced and they may not have a place on their teams after the season is over, but have some freaking compassion, too. I mean, they are still human beings, and this is exactly where people get upset and go, they're not here for your entertainment. I mean, understand that this is still their job, and these are difficult decisions that people are making with their loved ones, just like you guys all and we all have had to make with our loved ones when the time came, whether, you know, we should be working from home or whatever was going on. Everybody's had to make some really tough calls the last 4.5 months, and these guys are no different. It's time for them to make calls and just look. There's going to be some interesting situations, and I'm sure we're going to get some more, and I'm sure people are going to get angry at certain players if they really like them for opting out, but just relax on them. Relax a little bit. These guys are human beings too, Bogus.
Yes, they are. And can I make a pre-request to all the TV networks? Assuming we have games and we chug along week to week, what's the sweet spot? What week can we outlaw the graphic that tells us the key players from these teams who are not playing this year? Because you know, like that, and that needs to be said every once in a while that, you know, the Bears don't have Eddie Goldman and Michael Pierce of the Vikings, Devin Funchess, but like at some point, everyone should know who's not playing this year. I don't want that graphic like bashed into our head in the first series of every game all the way through the postseason.
It can't. It's going to happen through September because you're not even getting preseason games. So that's when you're going to first get comfortable. So
sure.
I think that's natural. I think you need to pause on October, November. You will get it again back in December, again, assuming we've chugged along here, if you start getting teams that maybe had lesser seasons, coaches on the hot seat. Then you'll start getting, look at, or even teams that were awesome. Look at what they were able to accomplish, and they didn't have this one, this one, this one, and this one. Or, you know, look at this player that stepped up, and you know, Charles, you know, he wouldn't have gotten, I'm doing, I guess, a Burkhart to Charles Davis, even though he's at CBS now, so what the heck's going
it's okay.
on?
Okay. Yeah.
We, you know, he wouldn't have even gotten this opportunity if this, you know, we're going to get those storylines. I think you get a lot early, a lot late, but I'm with you, October, November. Kind of like the idea with the baseball announcers constantly showing us when they're in dark stadiums on the road or all this other stuff going on. I don't want the constant reminder. Let's just move along.
And, man, those baseball writers and announcers love to do that 2.7 conversion rate on games. I mean, they thought that they were like scientists over the weekend explaining it every chance they got. Well, this year, 60 games, every game is really 2.7 games over a full season. So,
by the way,
if you take 2 of 3, it's like taking 5 of 7.
By the way, Bogus. And I think it was Jason Stark that came up with the number. Guys, we didn't exactly split the atom here. I'm not that good at math. You just divided the two, right? Like, what?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's going on here?
It wasn't hard to come up with.
No. I mean, anybody could have come up with it, including me. All right, Bogus, what do you got for an update?
Our first headlines this morning are sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. It lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. It is day one of real games at the NBA bubble at Disney World, and teams are getting healthy. Zion Williamson upped his workload at Pelicans practice yesterday. He says he wants to play tonight's opening seeding game against the Jazz. Head coach Alvin Gentry says the final decision lies with their medical staff. And Anthony Davis appears ready to face the Clippers in the nightcap.
Get evaluated again tonight by one of the doctors here, and just kind of get an update from them. So that's the plan for me to
so
play.
So informative. So excited to play. That was Davis speaking after returning to full practice yesterday.
Woo!
He was wearing
Who's
protective...
excited for Lakers Clippers tonight?
He was wearing protective glasses after getting poked in the eye during a scrimmage game last weekend. Davis said he doesn't think he would wear those glasses during a game. Major League Baseball is tightening its rules in the aftermath of the Marlins outbreak, which is now reportedly 16 players and 2 staff members. Players must wear surgical masks, not just cloth ones, when traveling. They should not leave the team hotels on the road except for games, and each team must now have a compliance officer with it to keep everyone in line. On the field last night, no follow-up fireworks in Houston. Just another Dodger win. This one 4-2 in 13 over the Astros. Edwin Rios, a 2-run homer. And I say this quietly and quickly and hopefully correctly. 2-run homer leading off the 13th for LA thanks to that new rule, putting a runner at second base to start every extra inning. The Mariners outscore the Angels 10-7. The Twins blank the Cardinals 3-0. Same final, the Brewers over the Pirates. The Reds thumped the Cubs 12-7 to end a 4-game skid. Mike Moustakas and Nick Senzel went deep for Cincy in their returns from a weekend COVID scare. The ACC hopes to play an 11-game football schedule, and they're bringing Notre Dame along for the ride. 10 conference games plus 1 non-conference game. The Irish are eligible for the ACC title game in this scenario. No divisions this year in the ACC. They'll play straight through. The top two will play in that title game. And again, it could be Notre Dame. SEC AD is apparently on board with a 10-game conference-only schedule. The presidents are meeting today, but may not make a final decision, although that was said about the ACC going into their meetings yesterday. And Virginia Tech corner Caleb Farley, a projected first-round pick, will stay home this fall and prep for next year's NFL draft. More exhibition hockey in Canada yesterday. Chicago shut out St. Louis 4-0. Corey Crawford made 11 saves for Chicago after missing all voluntary workouts and all but one day of training camp after testing positive for COVID-19. And the quarterfinals of the MLS Back Tourney begins tonight. It is Sporting KC and the Philadelphia Union at 8 Eastern. Shawnee?
All right, when we come back, Bogus, I do have a question on that leadoff homer in just a moment. Yeah. We'll get to that. But first, it will be This Date in Mothership History, a sequel to yesterday's This Date in Mothership History 6 years ago. The DA Show chugs along next on CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's This Date in Mothership History.
The date was July 30th. The year was 2014. 6 years ago today. You want to know how the heck we ended up getting the mornings? We wonder, because this was the kind of stuff we were doing on overnights. Mraz, that's me, getting his back shaved as DA does play-by-play from Peter Schwartz. It's This Date in Mothership History.
You should see the face that Mraz is making. I mean, it looks like he is sheer ecstasy. It is so disgusting right now. It's really grossing me out to even look at this face that he has on. So Schwartz is going left to right across the body. There's a lot of hair there.
Trust me, Meg. Shave a man's back for him and he'll purr like a walrus.
This is gross.
This is more hair than I would have thought. It's very furry. It's
watch when you get lower like that. You're really pricking me. Cutting.
Let's get red. That one little patch looks sexy, though.
Does it look good?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Brock, look at the gut pouring over Mraz's front belt. Look at that.
Not only the gut, but then you got the side spare tire, and then there's the crack has made an appearance now. This is not good.
There is upper crack. There is an upper crack appearance happening right now. Oh, my God. It is hideous.
Oh, you are hairy like animals.
Good, baby. Very good.
Ew. He is groaning and moaning. Oh, my God. Brock just said, my God, Mraz, you are fat. Oh, my
Pull
God.
Pull the damn pants off.
So here's the shave gel. It's a short.
Well, if I don't, we're going to find out really quickly, aren't we?
What are we doing here? Honestly. This is probably the worst radio I've ever done in my career. Here is Schwartz lathering up his back.
I like that. A little physical rub. I like it. He's slapping on there. He means business.
Wow, you've got a big back.
Well, I'm a big man.
Oh, my God.
Boy, that's a lot of stretch marks.
There is so
This is about my back, not my belly.
Whew. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. 855-212-4227 is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. Bokish, what the heck were we doing on the overnight?
I don't know, but now I'm laughing at like Tom from Geico Sales calling up our sales department going, hey, can I get an air check of like a DA show read of one of our things? You know, just give me a couple minutes before and a couple minutes after just so I can see how they're really, you know, pushing it into the show, and we send them that clip. This is the worst radio I've ever done. We're shaving a man's back. Brought to you by Geico.
I mean, unbelievable. That, you know, his brain was so fried. That was, you know, we talk about pulling up, you know, forgotten classics, some of these great things we've done during quarantine, Mothership at the movies. All right, let's have Schwartz shave Meraz's back, and let's see what kind of reaction we get in late July as we're just begging for NFL games to be played.
You know, I have friends who had their beards shaved, as I believe it was a Gillette, some kind of razor sponsorship, but they had their beards shaved by Carmen Electra, like peak Carmen Electra. You had your back shaved by Peter Schwartz.
Not the same. Not the same.
No.
I would much rather Carmen Electra shave my back. But I will say, for all the men out there in all seriousness, your back being shaved is one of the most unbelievable feelings on earth. The way that razor just tickles your back, it's unearthing. It's unbelievable.
I'd rather just not have back hair than have back hair and have to experience this.
I would agree, but a lot of people don't have that option, Bogus. So the point is, if you just leave it back there and you're just basically like an animal, or you can have it shaved every once in a while, it is such a delicacy. It's like having having a good filet mignon.
You know, on top of my Carmen Electra story, I'm pretty sure that Pete Pilotti had his head shaved on these airwaves by a Victoria's Secret model. Sarah Sampaio came into the show one morning when it was Gio and Jones, and I believe she bicked Bilotti's head. Or did she have a razor, Pete?
Buzzed.
I don't remember now. She buzzed it, right.
Yes.
But again, supermodel, Carmen Electra, Peter Schwartz.
Well, look.
So congrats, Shawnee.
The budget was low on the overnights, Bogus. There was no doubt the budget was low.
Non-existent.
I did want to ask you this real quickly, Bogish. You mentioned that two-run homer at the top of the 13th, something I've been meaning to bring up on the air, and I really don't know the answer to it. And again, I could look this thing up. Are you getting credit for the extra RBI, and are you getting credit for the run scored if you're the runner on second or you're the person that drives them in?
You get the RBI, you get the run scored, and it's an unearned run on the pitcher's account. So whoever gave it up, I don't remember last night, gives up one earned run, one unearned run, because the home run is earned, obviously, but the runner at second is unearned.
So that's really a cheesy way to, you know, pump up your RBI stats if this is a rule that ends up staying beyond this year, because that's not
I'd have to think about this now, because you, no matter what, you get the guy in. Now, how he got to second base never really matters, whether he got there by an error from the team or a walk in a wild pitch. Like, you brought him in, so you get RBI. How he got there has always been immaterial to that stat.
All right, I could hear that argument. It just feels like, because it's like a mythical ghost runner that gets placed there, it feels like that stat, or at the very least, the run scored stat for whoever goes on second should not count.
Yeah. That I would agree with, and that I can even double check whether you get that or not, because again, it's the guy who made the last out of the previous inning
right,
goes to second base or a pinch runner.
Your last at bat, you made an out. So on your stat sheet, when, you know, old Elias or Baseball Reference has your stats, the idea that you could have an extra run scored, and it, you know what I mean? I don't know. Seems a little out of left field. No pun intended. Or pun intended. I don't know.
But
When we come back, we're ready to tip it off, baby. NBA opening night. What's your excitement level at? Bogus and I will discuss ours. And remember, your phone number, 855-212-4227 to chime in on the show. Tweets at MerazCBS. Tweets at Andrew Bogus. Howard Beck joins the show a little bit later on. But NBA opening night, you feeling it? We'll discuss next. CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.